I can start with a question. Do you know the teaching of the apple tree? Because that is a very interesting tree which we have in the Old Testament. And we have only, I think, 3 verses where we read something about the apple tree. And 4 verses, I think, where we read something about the apples. At first, I want to read the verses about the apple tree. And they are in the book of Songs of Songs. And one is in the Minor Prophets in Joel. Song of Songs, chapter 2, there we read in verse 3. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. In his shadow have I rapture and sit down, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. He has brought me to the house of wine, and his banner over me is love. Sustain ye me with resin cakes, refresh me with apples, for I am sick of love. The other verse is in Song of Songs, chapter 8, verse 5. Who is this that comes up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? I awoke thee under the apple tree. There my mother brought thee forth. There she brought thee forth that bore thee. And then in Joel, I think it's chapter 1, could be verse 12. It's the second of the minor prophets, Hosea and then Joel. Joel 1, verse 12. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languishes. The pomegranate tree, the palm also, and the apple tree. All the trees of the field are withered. Yeah, joy is withered away from the children of men. At first, so far, the word of God. The first verse which we read in the Song of Songs in chapter 2, that shows us that the apple tree is a picture of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps I can give a short overview about Song of Songs. The teaching of this book is, I think, not so difficult to understand, because the teaching is connected with the prophecy in the time of the tribulation. And the prophecy in this book starts with the first period in the time of tribulation, so with the first 3.5 years. And in this time, some people of the 2 tribes converted to God. And after they converted to God, they understood what they did in ancient time, that they crucified the Lord Jesus. And because they understood their sin and they understood what they did, they asked the question, did God love us anymore? That is the main question, what is the main topic in this book. Did God love us with the same love as he loved us in ancient time when he called out our father Abraham, who was the founder of the people of Israel? And that is a very important question, because we can ask the same question. If we look back in our life on all the sins which we did, and also the sins which we did after we converted to God, we can ask the question, did God love us with the same love as on the day when we converted to God? And the answer in this book is, can I say, outstanding, because God said, my love will never change. And that would be the answer what the people who converted from the 2 tribes of Judah, what they will get as an answer from God. And that is the teaching of this book. There's also a historical part of this book, because here we find the bride of Solomon, and we find that this bride is a very, it is not a high educated woman, because in chapter 1 we read something about her color, that her color is dark, because she was a woman who worked on the field. And the great King Solomon took this woman as his wife. And that shows us something about the grace of Solomon. And of course, it shows us something about the grace of the Lord Jesus to us. So the bridegroom, the bride in this book is without any doubts a believer. and it could be also a believer in our times. So it is not a picture of the assembly of God. That is impossible, because at first that was a secret in the Old Testament. And secondly, there is not only the town of Jerusalem, there are also other towns mentioned, but I don't have so much time to speak about all of these things or these points. So the bride is a picture of a believer, and the bridegroom is a picture of the Lord Jesus. And in these verses which we read, the bridegroom is connected with the apple tree. So the apple tree is a picture of the Lord Jesus. And that is a very interesting point, because that shows us the Lord Jesus as somebody, at first, who gives us fruit. Secondly, as somebody who gives us joys. This you don't find here, but you find this in the verse in Joel 1, because there the fruit of the apple tree was gone because of the sinfulness of his people. And there we read that, the joys was gone. So the apple tree shows us the Lord Jesus as our Lord who gives us the true joys. And thirdly, the apple tree speaks from the Lord Jesus who gives us shade. So these are the three things which we can learn when we speak about the apple tree. The apple tree was among the trees of the wood. So in this situation, there were a lot of trees. But this believer was not interesting in all the trees who are there. There was only one tree which was interested, and this was the apple tree. Because the other trees, they could be bigger, they could be more majestic, perhaps they look nicer, I don't know. But she said, there's only one tree which is important in my life, and that is the apple tree. Because again, this apple tree gives shadow. This apple tree gives true fruit, and this apple tree gives joys. And that is something which you find on no other place on this earth. The thing you only find in connection with the Lord Jesus. And so the apple tree is so important. The Lord Jesus as the apple tree in my personal life. So that is the first point. The second point now is, what is the bride doing? She didn't visit the apple tree for a short time. She wants to get the fruit of this apple tree. She wants to get all the blessings, I would say, which are connected with this apple tree. And so she did a very important thing. She sat down. And that is the first point about I have to say something. We can read the Bible and we can read the Bible. We can read the Bible as fast food. Perhaps you have a minute or 2 minutes and just you read one verse, and that is more, do you have the word alibi in English?
Alibi.
Okay, that is more an alibi function. You could everybody tell, I read a verse. But if you read this verse in the morning, do you know in the afternoon, what did you read in the morning? I could ask you, what did you read in the morning? It is so important to read the Bible, not as fast food, but that you sit down and that you read the Bible very carefully and that you pray about the things which you read in the Bible. Because to read the Bible carefully means that your heart will be connected with the verses which you read. And there is an outstanding example for this, and that is the King Josiah. I only know the German pronunciation, but you find him in 2 Kings 22. Josiah, thank you. And there is a very interesting verse, because this man, he heard the word of God. And we could think that he never heard the word before this situation, when Shaphan the scribe came from verse 8 on, and he read this verse, or the five books of Moses, he read this scroll before the king of Judah. And then it is remarkable what happened in this situation. And we find this in 2 Kings 22, and that is a verse, a word, which we have only one time in the Bible, and that is verse 19. Because thy heart was tender. That is an outstanding characteristic of the heart of this king. Because we never read this in the Bible again. Yeah, there is a second verse, of course, but that is the parallel passage in Chronicle. It was so important for God that he mentioned it twice. So this means, because thy heart was tender. Or I could say, because thy heart was soft. And what can you do with a body which is soft? You can form it as you like it. So if the king had a heart which was soft, that means that this heart was formed by the word of God. And that is only possible if you sit down under the apple tree and if you read the word of God under prayer. It is not enough to read a verse just a minute and then you go out of your house and do your practical work. Nobody would smell the coffee in the morning and would say, thank you very much, that's enough for me. Everybody would drink it. And you will not smell the toast and say, okay, that's enough. That's enough food for the day. You will eat it. And if you eat it, it would become a part of your body. And that is the situation, how you have to read the Bible. So this bride, she didn't visit the apple tree for a short time and then she went. No, she sat down under this apple tree, and that is so important. She sat down under his shadow, and that means this was a place for safety for her. So all the other things which will disturb her, she put everything away. I could translate it in modern language. I can't read my Bible if my mobile is on the same table. And if it is switched on. And if I have to look always on my mobile if I get a message or not. If I have to read my Bible, I have to put these things away. And that is the meaning here. She was only sitting under the shadow of this apple tree. Nothing else was with her. And that is the case how we have to read our Bible. Again, that is so important. And I know a lot of young believers, not only in Germany, who don't know the basic of the Bible. And why don't they know the basic of the Bible? Because they don't read this book. They have so much time for everything. And they can use their mobile better than I. And perhaps they have a lot of Bible programs on their mobile. But to have a Bible program is not the same than to read the Bible. Yes, you can have 20 Bibles at home, but what does it help if you don't open this book and if you don't read it under prayer? Because John 14, 15 and 16 told us that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. And that is the blessing which no other believer had in the times before us. Because the believers of the Old Testament, of course, they are connected with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit came over them or they were upon them. But the Holy Spirit was not dwelling or living in them. But it is the case in all the believers of the time of the grace of the New Testament, I would say of the time of the assembly. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. And John 14, 15 and 16 shows us that it is so important because the Holy Spirit is the key who opens us the word of God. That is the reason why unbelievers can't understand the Bible. They can't understand the beauties in the Bible. They see only difficulties and problems and they think there are mistakes and so on because they don't have the key. They don't have the Holy Spirit. So all the theological people, they studied, for example, this subject, but they don't have the Holy Spirit. And so they can't understand the Bible. But that the Holy Spirit can act in my life, I have to give him time. And I have to invest time. That is so important. And that is what we find here. I sit down. I take time. to read, to be under the apple tree. And what did he do? What did she do? She ate the fruit. That is the second point. She ate his fruit, not another fruit. There could be also other trees with an interesting fruit. But she didn't eat these fruits. The only fruit which she ate was the ate from the apple tree. And so she could say, and his fruit is sweet to my taste. So she ate these fruits. And again, that is the meaning when we read the word of God. I think it's Jeremiah 15 verse 16 or 16 verse 15, 1 second, where we have the prophet. Yes, and he read the word of God. Jeremiah 15 verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. You see, that is not the same as I did smell them. Yeah, this prophet ate the word of God. So it was a part of his life. That is the reason why God gave us his word. That his word would be a part of my life, of my Christian life. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy words were unto me the joy. There we have the joy again, which is connected with the apple tree and the fruit. And rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name. That is such an important verse. And again, do we practice this? It's very easy what I say. It's not the same difficult teaching which we had yesterday about Romans 6 and Colossians 3, which is not so easy to understand because of the teaching is not so easy. This is only practice. But if we don't practice this, we are unable to understand the teaching of the Word of God because it must be a part of our life. That is what we find here. And then she has the desire in verse 5. I can't speak about everything here. I want to stay on the topic of the apples. Refresh me with apples. The fruit which we ate, that was not enough for her. She started to eat the apples. And she had the feeling, I need more of these apples. I need more of these fruit. Because that is the true fruit which is able to refresh me. And we have to get the same feeling. When we read the word of God, we must have the feeling we have to read more. And if we spend some time, we must get the feeling we have to invest more time to get more knowledge about the word of God. What did Peter say in his first epistle? He had only one topic, not only one, but one very important topic, and that is to remember. Did you ever read this epistle, the first epistle of Peter, and read what we find there? Oh, no, it's 2 Peter, sorry, it's 2 Peter 1. There we read in verse 12, wherefore I will be careful to put you always in mind of these things, although knowing them. So these are the basics of the word of God, the things which every believer has to know. And how can you know it? If you read, when you read your Bible. And he said, it is so important. Wherefore, I will be careful to put you always in mind of these things. And Peter wrote this at the end of his life. And then he said in verse 13, but I account it right as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir you up by putting in remembrance, knowing that the putting of my tabernacle is speedily to take place, as also our Lord Jesus Christ had manifested to me. So he wrote this at the end of his life. And in verse 13, he wrote this again, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. And then he wrote it a third time because it is so important in verse 15. But I will use diligence that after my departure you should have also at any time in your power to call to mind these things. It is so important for us to know the basics of the Word of God. Do you know why we assemble as we do it? Do you know what is the body of Christ? What is the meaning of the members of the body? What are the gifts and what is connected with the gifts? And how important it is to practice it? Do you know the basic about baptism and these things, which are so important? What will you tell your children if they ask you? Are you able to explain this? That is what Peter said. What are you doing if there are the mockers in this world who will question the word of God? Peter spoke about this in chapter 3, in the same kind, 2 Peter 3 in the first verses was one. This is a second letter, beloved. I already write to you, in which I steer up in the way of putting you in remembrance, your pure mind, to be mindful of the word spoken before by the holy prophets, that is the Old Testament, and of the commandment of the Lord and Savior by our apostles, knowing this first. And then he describes the situation in the last days. And he describes the attacks of the mockers. And he says, there is one kind how you can answer them. Don't discuss with them. It will not help. But speak about the word of God. If they said there is no second coming from the Lord Jesus, then answer him with the Old Testament and explain them what the Old Testament is teaching about this. And answer with the teaching of the New Testament. What did Paul do when he was in Thessalonica and when he preached the gospel? He spoke with the people there about the teaching of the Old Testament about the Lord Jesus. He spoke with them about the sufferings and the glory of the Lord Jesus. So he knew the Old Testament very well. Are we able to do this? The Lord Jesus said by himself in Luke 24 that he explained them what was written about him in every book of the Bible. I will not say on every page of the Bible, because that is not what the Lord Jesus said. But he said there is in every book of the Old Testament, you find something about me. Of course, if I ask you in Genesis, you will find some examples. Do you know something in Joel, Nahum, Micah? I can bring some other books of the Old Testament. It is so important to read this book, to sit under this apple tree and to eat this wonderful fruit. Because there you have another very interesting point. Because that is not only the place of shade, but that is the place where you discover the Lord of shade. You find something about the Almighty Lord, which will help you in your circumstances in which you are. You will not get only the help, but you will be connected with the helper. Because that is much more important. I know a lot of believers who trust in their earthly blessings. But it is much more important to trust in the person who give you the blessings. There's one verse in the Psalms. That's very interesting. Psalm 30, we read. Verse 7. By my favor, thou hadst made my mountain to stand strong. So that is the earthly blessing which David got from God. And he describes this blessing as this mountain which stands strong. And now, thou didst hide my face. So that means you put your earthly blessing away. And what was the result? I was troubled. Because in this situation, he only saw the blessing, but not the person who gave the blessings. And that is so important that we don't see only the blessings in our life, but that we see the person who gives the blessing. That is so important. Look at Elijah by this river. And then he saw that this river dried out step by step. But you didn't see that he troubled with God. And you didn't find that he troubled with the blessing. Because he didn't see only the blessing, but he saw the person who gives the blessing. And he understood the earthly blessing can go, but the person who gives it will never change. And so he didn't fall in trouble. But here in Psalm 30, David fell in trouble because he saw only the blessings. So if you are sitting under this apple tree, you don't see only the shade, but you see the tree through which you get this shade. And that is so important here in this case. So turn over to another verse in the book, in the Song of Songs, because it is very interesting. If you read something about the things which the bride did, you very often get an answer from the bridegroom in connection with this point. So she ate the apples. And now we have the answer from the bridegroom. And that is chapter 7. With 8 at the end. And the fragrance of thy nose like apples. That is interesting. She ate the apples. And the bridegroom says, you are smelling like apples. Everybody understand this if I speak about garlic. I think I must not do it. Everybody knows what I mean. But here we have the apples. What does it mean? You smell like the food which you eat. So if your daily food is the Bible, you will smell like the Lord Jesus. Because that is the content of the Bible. And if your food is the world, you will smell like the world. That is the teaching which we have in this short verse. I can give an example. Think about Lot and Abraham. Very often they walked the same way. And they were at the same places. But at the same time, they had total different places. Because from Abraham we read 4 times that he had a tree in his life. So the English word could be an oak, or it could be a terebinth. I don't know how the translation in the Derby Bible, but you find this the first time in Genesis 13. And that is very interesting, because there he had his tree in his life, and this was a tree which gave fruit. In verse 18 from chapter 13, and Abraham moved his tent and came and dwelt by the oaks of Mamre, which are the Hebron. And that means, if I translate this, this was the tree of teaching. So this was the tree where he was taught by God. Then in chapter 14, we have the second time that he had this tree. And that was when there was stress under the believers between the shepherds of Lot and the shepherds of Abraham. And there we read from Abraham in verse 13, and he dwelt by the oaks of Mamre. And these are the trees of fellowship, if I translate this word. We have the same tree in chapter 15 when there was stress in the world. Because they were fighting 5 kings against 4 kings. And that was very, very close by Abraham. Only a couple of miles away where this fight was. And what did Abraham do? Did he stood on a mountain and looked what happened? Oh, they're very close in my area. It could be very dangerous. No, he sat under this tree. Oh, no, the first one is Genesis 12. I did a mistake, sorry. Sorry. The first tree which we have in Genesis 12, that is when you pass through the land, this is the oak of Moreh. So that is the tree of teaching. And then he has 3 times the oaks of Mamre. Chapter 13, when there is stress under the believers. Chapter 14, when there is the problems in the world that four kings are fighting against five kings. And then at the end, in chapter 18, when he was visited by God and two angels. So that was his characteristic place, that he has a tent in this world. But at the same time, he had a living place, and that was in the connection with God. And that gave him the power, that gave him the strength, that gave him everything which was necessary. And so he was not afraid in this very, very, what can I say, critical or dangerous time, because he was connected with his God. And now we have the very important verse. I want to read this in Genesis 12. And Abraham passed through the land of the place of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. And then normally we have to continue in verse 7. And the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. But very, very interesting, there is a verse included. And the verse, it makes a break if you read this passage. And this is at the end of verse 6. And the Canaanite was then in the land. So again, the original text is, and Abraham, verse 6, passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. Angel, then the Lord appeared to Abraham. We could say, why do we have these additional words? And now you understand the teaching of Song 7. The Canaanites are the people in this world. And the people in this world, they watched Abraham. And they also watched Lot. And they saw that Abraham smelled like, I would say, like God. And that Lot smelled like the world. Because later on in chapter 23 or 24, when Abraham needed a place to bury his wife, he asked for a land. And they told him, you are a prince of God among us. What an amazing witness. Because during his life, he sat under these trees and he ate this fruit. And so he smelled like the word of God. And what did they say to Lot when he wanted to preach the gospel? You are somebody, I don't know exactly the English text. You are somebody like somebody who makes a joke among us. That is the difference. And that is, okay, the short teaching of the apple tree, which we find in Song of Songs. We have it one more. Yes, I told you. The other one is in chapter 8. Perhaps 1 minute. Because chapter 8 is very interesting, because there you see the bride through her way through the desert. Because there you read in verse 5, who is this that comes up from the wilderness? There you see the believers on his way through this world. And what is his character? His character in chapter 5, in chapter 3 is, in verse 6, when she comes up from the wilderness like pillars of smoke. And if you read Exodus 11 or 13, you get the meaning of the pillars of smoke and the pillars of fire. This is a picture of the Lord Jesus in connection with the Holy Spirit who are guiding us through this world. So what did the people see when this bride came through the wilderness? They saw the pillar of smoke. So they saw a believer who went his way by the guidance of the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And what did they see in chapter 8? There's also the same question, who is this, who is she, that comes up from the wilderness in verse 5? Leaning upon her beloved, they saw a believer who was not able to went this way by himself. They saw a believer who understood that in himself is no power and no strength. And so he went this way through the wilderness, connected with the beloved. So in connection with the Lord Jesus. And that is another point, we don't have time for this, which is connected here with the apple tree, that we have the promise that we must not go our way alone. We don't have the promise that God will put all difficulties away and that he will change all our circumstances. No, we don't have this. Read the book of Habakkuk. But we have the promise that he will come in our situation and that he will go with us the way. But it is our responsibility to accept this and to put our hand on his shoulder. And so we can go in connection with him our way through all the difficulties, through all the circumstances, through the wall, through the desert in which we are. That is the teaching which we find here in Songs 8. And it is again connected with the apple tree. But I think that gives us a short overview about the fantastic teaching which is connected with the apple tree. And it is so important that we have this apple tree in our daily life and that we take time to sit in his shade and to read the word of God under prayer.